Let's get an opinion now on Sari's heroine. Who makes that a contender? Does everyone make it? Does everyone not make it? She's a contender. On off which race?
Third race back.
Okay. We're just going to toss those last two out. There's no problem. They're grade one, which has very little to do with today's kind of racing. And the fact that she did well in one and was beaten in another really doesn't influence this race. They're not on the surface. They're not on the track. They might as well have been in New York for all the influence they're going to have. I have no problem going back to February 4th on this horse.
You're good in those.
You'll notice she did well in both of those at the second call. Fairways Girl. I didn't throw it out. I asked you, do you keep it in?
Yeah.
Okay, I throw it out. Because it's a $100,000 claiming, we are looking at stakes horses. And Tom really made a good point yesterday. Do you think that you can buy Lychee for $100,000, Lucient for $100,000, and Empress for $100,000?
If you go back to 4 March, that horse gets the Northern Aspen and Reloy at the 6 furlong mark in the turf.
And then they put it up for sale at $100,000.
Well, it depends. On the grass, be careful with that. That kind of an observation on the grass doesn't often hold up. The reason it doesn't is that those grass fillies, they'll just let her run in front of them until they're ready. Because that's the way that grass race is run. So you can put a tent, you often see, when Parson John first went on the grass, he was a $10,000 claimer on the dirt. When he went on the grass, he almost put wire and wire because they let him out there on the lead. Because they'll let whoever wants the lead have it. So just because she was in front of those horses, she's a nice horse. The point is that she's going to make sure Sari's heroine won't win. She'll make sure of that. But the point is, she's not going to win here either.
Yeah. And I didn't, I mean, admittedly, those are pretty good times, but I just don't think that this horse belongs in this field. And I think she's going to be intimidated to the point, I'm not going to go through all my motor impersonations today, but yesterday I talked about, you told me to speed it up. Drag racing. When I was a kid, I used to indulge in a little drag racing, and you'd sit at the stoplight, and the guy next to you would come up, and he'd have the same kind of car you did. You'd go with him. But if he came up in an animal car, all raised in the exhaust pipes like this and making these enormous noises out the back, you weren't a drag racer anymore. You would say, I'll just go very slowly here. And horses intimidate each other, and they can do it in 15 or 20 feet. A horse makes a move, and the other said, oh, no, you don't. Digs in, and that horse, okay. And that's a little bit of horse psychology. And what can I tell you? I don't feel that this horse has any business in the race, really, as a series contender. Will not. It may keep Sari's heroine honest, but other than that, I didn't even put it in the machine. If you want to put it in, again, I think you're introducing a little noise in this case, but Tom likes to see the pace of the race shape up a little more than I do. I like to see just legitimate contenders in there, and that's simply perhaps my inexperience showing. Flamed.
This is my very shortest
comment. And we already did Aramacore. Let's turn to page 104.
Well, I virtually always do that in a route. The sprint is awfully easy to look at 44-1, 44-2, and conceive of what the variant means to that. In a route, it's sometimes kind of hidden. Now, I haven't thrown Fairways Girl out here, but I would have, when you analyze this race in a moment, for Sari's heroine to win it, she's going to have to go 45. Fairways Girl is going to make sure she can't possibly win.
Yeah,
I just throw
her out too.
Okay.
One more thing, Dick. Why wouldn't you go back on Lychee to the 8th October?
why would I go back to 8th October? I've got a, in other words, I'm going by a perfectly legitimate line. I have to have an excuse to go by every line. Every line I go by, I have to have a reason to go by. And there's no reason to go by. That's
good. What's the variant?
Well, how can it's 24?
24.
79 and 24. It's slightly off track, but if you want to, sure.
The tandem allows you to do that too. The other way is the more legitimate.
If you want to, you're not wrong. As I said, I didn't. One of the things is that I handicapped this using synergism, and I know that that program is accurate at making adjustments for off surfaces, and so I've kind of tended to get away from. I don't let that bother me quite as much as I used to. As long as it obviously didn't hurt any of these horses, that and I know also that when that if that downhill gets a little off, they put the race on the main course. And so I figure that even if it says good, it can't be that bad, because they switch those races at the slightest sign of moisture. So I'm assuming that good referred to the turf course that day, and it couldn't have been that bad. Maybe it was a taste soft, but they did run a 1:15.1. So and I'll let the program make the adjustment there. That was my thinking. Howard says it would be more valid to go back one, and he's undoubtedly right, because he's never been wrong. If we'll turn to page 106, you'll see my, and 107, you'll see my printout. In this race, I have one decision to make. Lucient is a contender and a bet, given right off the top. That's my bet, my prime bet in this. That's my top horse. However, I'm going to bet two horses in this race, and I need to separate now Sari's Heroine and Leachy. And as Tom mentioned, it turns out that that's a very important separation, because Lucien, I still think, is the best horse in the race, literally went to her knees. And if you think about where a horse's front knees are, remember, they got two sets. It's kind of tough to get back up and then clippity-clop, 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 whippity-whip, whippity-whip. Yeah, we got the clippity-clops. So, yeah. And so that horse was just out of it. The gate opened, it went, and then had to stand up, and then go, and it ran a very good race, given that. But it didn't win. And that's one of the real reasons we bet two horses. To do a marvelous handicapping job like this, and have this horse, and then to have something as trivial as a little stumble cost you money, when you've done your work correctly, terribly frustrating. And so we're going to bet a second horse. And to do that, it's pretty obvious we only have two choices here. And that's Sari and Leachy. Aroma and Empress just obviously don't cut it. And so we have to separate two horses. Now, you can do it a number of ways. I separated them in two manners. I said they needed to have good W. Well, they're tied W. They're coming out of the same race, so they probably should be. No, they're not. I'm sorry. But they're tied for factor W. And that means they're within 0.05. I don't remember which one is actually on top. But 0.05 is such a trivial difference in factor W that you can't separate them. But remember, I said I wanted them balanced early. On this track, my records show balanced early. Bob's records say they need early with good W. So early is very important here. We're looking at Leachy, who was number two early, running 53.06% early, and Sari, who is three early, running a 52.25. And if we look, turn back one page, something that Tom alluded to earlier, Sari came out of this exact same class, but this was a very, very, must have been a very soft field, although it had Leachy in it. For whatever reason, this day, Sorry got away with walking, although 45-1 doesn't look much like walking, but for the turf course, it is walking. Very, very slow, early pace.
Now, look at the first quarter mile in that race in Series Hero. The race is over at the end of the quarter.
Mm-hmm.
They could run 21-1 down the hill with a big crowd.
Sure.
She went 22-2. The race was over. I happen to see the race. Mm-hmm. It was over right there at Series Hero.
Now, we know we have... go ahead.
One other thing to add.
All right, go.
This is universal, it's not just here. Mm-hmm. Look at the figure on the ratings on 107 for Series Heroin. Because you see this a lot, not only on the turf. This goes beyond this particular race. You will often find a horse that is a dedicated frontrunner that you've put into the computer that shows a 1-3-1, or in this case, a 2-3-1. Three being early, one being late, but it's a dedicated frontrunner. That's the kind of horse you're going to have to be very careful with. The reason you have to be careful with it is because by virtue of being a three today, it's not a front runner based on its previous race. To be the front runner it has to be, it now has to put out early. And that one that you have for sustain absolutely goes to hell. It's like Largon earlier today. A horse that has to be in front that sits up a 3-1 with Fairway's Girl, if you put her in here, she's a 4-1. Now, to get her back to a 1 early where she's a 4, that means she's really going to have to hustle to try to get to those horses. And then she'll no longer be number 1 sustained. That holds true all year long. Sprints, routes, dirt, turf. And be very careful when your front runner is not the early pace horse also.
I'd like to make a comment on this, too. My model gave a little clearer picture. I didn't have this problem at the time that he had contended with. Mm-hmm. Because I ranked him on early. So my printout had... Reason on top, and Leachy second, right behind him. And then an Empress.
Well, so does this one. It's just the horses are in different order.
The horses are different order because you're ranking.
Right. His model is different.
My model is different, so I didn't even have to worry about that decision. And I looked down at the beaten lengths. Louisa projects to be 2.5 lengths in front of Leachy. And if she's not, Leachy's going to be the leader in this race.
Yeah, 2.5 lengths in front of Sari.
Could be the winner. So there are my two horses. It was very clear on my pronouns just because my model said it was early.
And again, remember that where that 2.5 length is being taken at the 4 furlongs. Well, that's pretty close to the end of this race. There's only 2.4 furlongs to go. And so a 2.5-3 length lead with fresh horses that have just come down off the hill and haven't been used quite as much because they've been running downhill, that's a pretty good size lead to overcome.
And don't let it bother you that the race wasn't run exactly like that. The point is the race had the capability of being. So it actually came off the pace here.
Yeah.
But don't let it bother you that the race wasn't run exactly that way.
Well, at the half, it was back, it was back some, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah, I remember
they
that.
They took her back, but she had the capability. She still had the power and the capability.
Yeah, where I sit at Santa Anita most of the time, I have almost no view of this race. So I sort of have to take it on faith in Trevor Denman. So I don't have a great real recollection of it. I do remember seeing a video of the start and watching her, Alucinant, go to her knees.
They don't even mention that.
No, they don't. And I make that comment. Although Tom says that it was publicized, I didn't see the publicity about it. Did they? Because I didn't see. I was hoping that I discovered something wonderful here. Every once in a while, you will, but that's weird trip handicapping. And I'm sure I will forget it by the time it's ready to be used anyway. So it's no big deal. Anyway, you understand why I went when I only have two horses to separate, and without Tom's insights as to pace here, why Leachy got the bet, and obviously Leachy was the winner, and paid $22.20. And again, I didn't really care if Leachy won or Lucient won. I was not playing the exacta. Most of the time, I just play win. And I had used the Huey Mall money management program that Bob Pretty just put into a program.
Thank you, Herb. I used to lecture in a 48-hour class over 2 weekends, and then I had 10 separate lectures, 3 hours each, that I would give. I'm going to condense all of that into 5 minutes. For two reasons. It was 10 years ago when I did it, and I can't remember very much of it anymore. And secondly, I'm cutting into Bob's drinking time, and that, I think, would be a serious offense. So I'll try to be very brief. I know it's late. But I'm very new. In fact, I've never even worked a race, so I'm not even close to understanding what's going on today, other than I have great admiration and respect for what's been done in this field. Absolutely vital, no matter how much study you have, no matter what programs you use, if you do not believe you can win, you in fact will not win. I don't care how much the math works for you. And the basic reason for that is that everything you hear, you see, you feel, you touch is stored somewhere in there. And you have the ability or the inability to bring it out depending on your attitude.
And 10 minutes. Go ahead. Good, good.
It's vital, and I can't stretch I can't stress it enough. We are a brain mind concept, and your brain is nothing more than a computer, garbage in, garbage out. Your brain is not intelligent, yet most of us function from the brain rather than from the mind. The mind is the subjective connection to intelligence, and even though you know better or you think you should or shouldn't do something, if you truly don't believe it deep down, it's not going to take place. You won't find, you'll miss the right pace line, or you'll do something wrong unintentionally. So it becomes vital that you believe you can win. If you believe it now, obviously if you're winning, you believe it, and that's not a problem. If you don't believe you can win, you ought to take some type of training, read many great books on the topic of reprogramming the brain so that you can win. And one of the books is Silva Mind Control Method. I have no interest in it. I have no financial interest. I haven't been with them in 10 years, but it's quite a good book. It's not, it's in most bookstores in the general self-improvement section. If the book doesn't do it, I would say take the course they offer. It's like a $200 or $300 course, well worth the time. It takes 2 weekends. There are many other good courses. There's Transcendental Meditation, which is very good. There are many approaches to learning to alter your brain consciousness so you can get the information out when you need it so you are able to win. So that's it. Any questions you'd like to ask? Or?
What's the name of the book?
The book is called Silva Mind Control Method, S-I-L-V-A. And it's in most bookstores. It's in paperback now.
I've got a copy here somewhere.
Many of us are obviously used to different modes of thought, and at one point we discussed at the beginning, the mode of thought when you're handicapping for fun, the mode of thought when you're handicapping to bet, and what happens right before the race when you have to actually put down your money. It's an absurd thing that you relate certain methodology or whatever, but are there any recommendations that you would just have off the cuff as to how to maybe relax or detach or whatever?
You would need to...
There's
a technique that I taught to athletes called visualize, focus, and trust. And that you can use whether you're an athlete, whether you're handicapping races. And it's a technique whereby you literally, now because you're not trained usually in altering your brain frequency, let me just tell you a quick way that works for many people. Just sit down where it's quiet, take 3 deep breaths, just breathe in, breathe out 3 times, close your eyes, count backwards from 10 down to 1, and then visualize yourself someplace that's relaxing for you. See yourself on a beach or floating on a cloud. It can be a real place. It can be something that you've made up. That will tend to alter the brain frequency automatically if you've never been trained in any type of meditation techniques. Then when you're at that level, visualize yourself sitting at your desk or your table, the place where you do your work, your handicapping. See yourself happy. See yourself confident. And see yourself picking winners. Visualize yourself at the track with your horse going across the finish line. See yourself smiling, which is obvious to the brain that you've won. Now, this sounds very elementary. The brain is not intelligent. The brain will do whatever you tell the brain to do. And if you see yourself winning, the brain then, in an unconscious effort to do what it's told to do, will help you find the right pace line to win that race. And by doing that, it will tend to relax you because you gain confidence at that point in time. The biggest mistake most people make is they think they're intelligent. You, meaning your brain, is not intelligent. It's a brain-mind combination. You've got to control that subjective dimension or you'll not reach anywhere close to what you want to achieve. Yeah, that's the book right there. That's actually the course, basically, for a couple of dollars. If you can get it from the book, you save the $300 for the course. But it's well worth it. It really would be. Any other questions?
Thank you. This is what I've been telling you all the time. I'm here for somebody else. You see, it's not just about imagination, all this psychological crap. In that thing I gave you, that 30-some-odd pages, you've got excerpts from this book about what Mr. Hero did. And it sounds a little weird, but now you've met the man. You're not weird. You've got a beautiful wife. In forthcoming months, however, we are going to take you the 10 sessions that we have planned. We have 12 total, but the 10 are, A, the basic, getting down to basics. That would be session one. And of course, we don't put these in order, but we last year had one on the dynamics of incremental velocity and energy distribution entirety to get the people who, we had one or two yesterday and one today who left because he didn't think it could be done. That'll be for basics. None of you probably will want to go to that unless you just want to take a refresher course in the basics. The second would be this session coupled with a session headed by James Quinn. For those of you who realize that his insights can do you a lot of good, especially this young couple here. He would give you a sense of the whole perspective of racing that would probably be a benefit for you. That session goes hand in hand with this on pace line selection. Then the next natural step is variant making, adjustment making based on variance. And I don't mean like you're talking about track to track daily. A variant is a variance. Any variation which necessitates an adjustment of any kind. After that would then be to put those steps together, as we had a very successful one called the Tom, Dick, and Doc Show, in which Tom and Dick took you through 5 races using phase 3, and I took you through the same races using UltraScan. We have 2 of those. So you get 2 sessions like that, because those were the ones that people seem to enjoy the most. Followed on session 7 would then be special situation handicapping. The 2 phases of special situation handicapping would be tandem race and trip handicapping via the racing form, which we haven't done yet. We haven't done the book on it yet. We should have by then. And it's very, very easy to trip handicap using the racing form if you know what you're looking for. The other special situations in handicapping would be off distances, off surfaces, small tracks to large tracks, Pomonas to Hollywoods, and vice versa, and that sort of thing. And other special situations, which have always cropped up, which have kind of been adjuncts of every meeting. Well, yeah, but this is a special situation. The downhill turf course is a special situation. Once you get all those special situations in a 9-hour session, then you'll have a handle on all of those. And the final lesson is one we have called, final of the handicapping lessons, is one we have called decision. It's one word with an exclamation point. The decision you now must make is interpreting of the readouts and the betting decision based on what you see. People can get the horses in proper order and make the wrong decision in interpreting the readouts because they don't understand their Brohammer model correctly or whatever. Decision would be when you're ready to really say, I am firmly convinced that these are my 2 horses. The 2 adjuncts would then be, one will have a big audience because we're bringing in Huey Moll. That'll be money management. And he'll draw a crowd. Believe me, this man is absolutely fascinating to listen to. And in the final, the 12th session, which would qualify you for a BA in handicapping, is the psychology of winning. Because without it down pat, you ain't never going to win. And that's the one that will have the most trouble getting people to attend, because always in the washroom, we got a little record in the washroom. Why in the hell has he got to get into that psychology crap? Why don't he just tell us which horse going? But that's where the failures come. The economic circumstances of today are such that we are finding people in our group who have been forced to try this to make a living. And some of them have done very well. Dick Schmidt, for example. The fellows in San Diego, all over the area, we have fellows who one day were high-paid executives, corporations,
suddenly their jobs were eradicated. And it was either find another job or say, I'm sick and tired of being shoved around by society like this. I'm going to see if this thing will work for me. To some, it has worked well when they lost their jobs. To others, they have gone to pieces after they lost their jobs, even though they are fine selectors. So don't kid yourself that you don't need to have a psychological protocol that allows you to win, that allows you to use your knowledge. So that would be the final test. The only reason we know we're going to get a lot of people to that one is that we won't give your bachelor's degree without it. And it's all nice, it's engraved and all that sort of thing. Then we'll have a master's course and a doctorate course. And then if you ain't got about them, baby, you can start a school somewhere. Because if you can't do it, teach it.
Over what period of time will these 9 or 10 seminars be given?
Oh, we'll try to get them all in 12, 15 months. You know, like we did last year, we didn't take them in any specific order. We didn't know if we'd catch on. We didn't know the people would come 89 miles to hear us. I mean, they won't even go 5 miles unless you give out the races in L.A. You got $15, a cup of coffee, a program, and a bear claw, and you get all 9 races. 3 horses in each one of them, and probably win twice a day. And then people go back to those, but I didn't think anybody would come this far. We are flattered by your presence, as always. We thank you very much. As my daughter said last night, Daddy, I didn't realize that you had what a wonderful bunch of people you really have as clients. And if they were great yesterday, you're even greater today. We thank you.